you have your Bibles with you, we're going to turn to Philippians there. I'm going to step back into a verse we were sharing Friday evening. In the second chapter, verse 9 and 10. Again, the whole relationship of God has to be that we understand how much He loved us, and how much He loves us, and how much Christ loves us. And that God only wants the best for you. Understand that He wants more for you than what you want for yourself. Because some of us here today, you just want to survive another day. And God said, no, 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 you are more than conquerors. You know, we want to squeak through another day. And folks, God wants so much more for us. We have to recognize that. Don't be a squeaker. You know what I'm saying? Say, God, I want all that you have for me. Because what He has for you is for the world. Understand that? What He has for you, yes, it's to strengthen you. It's to guide you. But it's through you for the world. And we carry with us, as born-again Christians, we carry with us a light that will never go out. We carry with us the truth. The truth. And God wants us to understand that. At the same time, that your faith is strong and grows to believe the truth, follow the truth, and speak the truth. But in Philippians chapter 2, I think it's verse 9 we want to share with you. Yeah, 9 and 10. And we're talking about our Messiah, Yeshua, is a Hebrew name, Yeshua. Sometimes I call him Yeshua. I love that name, Yeshua. I don't know. It is. It's like Carol sometimes say, hey, my wife. But I love when I call her my bride. It's like, wow, he's still the same person. But it just reminds me of my bride. And Yeshua just really, what do you call him? Yeshua, Jesus the Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. Amen. Yes. But in verse 9 and 10, it says, God highly exalted Jesus, gave him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, things in heaven, earth, and under the earth. And a lot of times when we read that, we think, yep, I'm telling you what, preacher, you're right. There's going to be a day coming, Jesus is coming back, and all those who rose up against Him, all those who rejected Jesus, they're going to bow their knee. Yes, they are. But so we read that in there, but folks, it's a lot greater than that. It says, at the name of Jesus Christ, a name above all names, every knee should bow. Or some say will bow. When he's saying should bow, I mean, they're going to bow. That is given to us today. As a born-again Christian, I hope you get somebody excited in here to just think about this. Whatever you've been tormented with, whatever's gone on into the world, you have been given the name above all names. It has to bow. With your faith in that name, there's nothing impossible. When we say there's nothing impossible with God, when we say all things are possible with God, yes, why? Because the name of Jesus Christ is above all names. The Word of God is not just a defense mechanism, it's an offense mechanism. Otherwise, we go forward, we chase the enemy, Too many times we don't grab that word till he's chasing us. We tried everything. We sidestepped this. We might even change different places where we live, where we work, what we do, back and forth. But he's so chasing us around. Stop! In the name of Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth rebukes you. And today we gather here, and a lot of folks, born again, you follow in the Master, but you're so tormented. Man, what is going on? Well, and then I want to tell you, when you call upon the name of Jesus Christ, and when you turn to Him, and how are we going to say, when you receive them as your Savior, Lord, when you confess your sin to them, when you had a heart transformation, boom, you're born again. Now given to you is a name above every name. Learning how to use that, that's an awesome thing. Best way I can describe it, thinking back here, years back I milked cows. Some of you remember that. And I shared before, I would come home in the evenings, and I'd walk in through the far side basement door. The minute I walk in the door, my wife upstairs could smell me. Have you ever been in the barn, calf barn? I'm telling you, if you're in the barn, you become nose blind. You know what I'm saying? No idea. That's not pretty good, I think. Okay. But, you know, shoveling manure and stepping in it and pulling calves and all that, it has an odor to it that after a while you don't recognize it. But I could walk in and it'd be a tired day, walk in there not thinking. I could walk into the house itself, go upstairs, and sit down with my manure boots on. And you know what I normally would hear? Starkey! Did you wear them boots in here? Oh, man. See, I was thinking more about myself. I was so tired. Something going on in the barn, maybe. I walk into her, I call it her house, our house, but she cleans it. There is, you got cow poop prints, not prints, not the cow didn't follow me, but boot prints for cow manure in the house. Carol, I'm sorry. Man. And whatever I was thinking about. All right. She forgives me right away. But that odor is still there. That manure is still there. And if it's not cleaned up, it's still going to do what it's going to do, and that is stink to the heavens. Amen? Everybody follow me so far? Now, I could have brought manure and passed it around, you know, more. Oh, wow. Hey, hon, you got a dustpan and a broom I can borrow? She gives me the tools. I clean it up. I get the stink out of the house. Already forgiven by my wife, right? Already forgiven. But I want to get rid of what I brought into the house. And I believe it's similar to our lives with Jesus. You know, we recognize all the stink that we had in our life. We turn to Jesus and repent. Oh, all that was against you. Man, I wasn't thinking that. I thought I was right. Who ever lived in sin thought you'd done the right thing? Who ever thought, well, I'm done all right, but the rest of the world's going to hell? Oh, yeah, yeah. And then one day that light of Christ, the truth, prayers that people have been praying for, your mind's open. Oh, man, I have sinned against God. Sinned against God. You had a revelation in your life. And you called upon the name that's above all names. And you received His love, forgiveness for your sins. Praise God. Amen?
Amen.
But with some of us, we don't know, but we still got stink in our life. Okay? Not saying you're not forgiven, understand? Trying to show you something here that God is trying to show you something is that you're still being tormented by the things in the past. And God says, you have the name above all names. Sometimes, I think, sometimes we get tired of being alone. Now, I'm not saying it has to be nobody around you, but you've been around in a crowd but still alone. You get that way. And then you find yourself kind of entertaining the things that you used to. Not saying you're stepping back into sin, okay? But you're entertaining the things that led you to sin. Amen? Follow me on this, okay? That thing that led you to sin is still there. Satan hasn't changed either. Understand that? He's still the same. He tries different mechanisms, different ways, but he's still the same. And in our lives, as we grow in the Lord, to recognize, man, the tricks of the enemy. Some things we can be involved in our life, as we come to Christ, we had no idea what we was doing. We open ourselves up to different attacks. If you've ever been a landlord, you buy a house. You rent it out to somebody. And they come in. You own the house, right? But they get a lease on it. It's up to them to clean it up. Amen? You follow me on that? Okay. Not saying they're not your tenants, but they have to clean up. Otherwise, you ever try to evict somebody? It's quite a process. It's my house. I own it. I rented it out. They violated it. Get out today. No. You got to go to court, fill out the paperwork, file it, get written notice, and then another notice. It might take six months to get somebody out of something that you own. You still own it, but man, it's a process of getting it out. Same way with our lives. Understand? When Jesus Christ bought you with His blood, now He's given you a name above all names, we got to recognize, okay, who was living in here before Jesus came? Because it's still hanging around. Okay? Again, not saying you're not born again, not saying you're not forgiven, but the torment's there. The one example I shared before was Lazarus. When he died, buried 4 days in the tomb, they wrapped him up in grave cloths, right? Gone. And Jesus said, okay, where is he at? Roll the stone away. Oh man, don't do that. He's going to stink. And Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. Here comes Lazarus. Is Lazarus alive? Yes. Can't deny it. Then the next instruction that Jesus gave his followers, unwrap him. Why? Well, if you don't unwrap him, he's going to suffocate and die again. Amen? You follow me? So Jesus called us, live! We received that we are alive, born again. But we don't recognize we still got some wrappings around us. And we have to get rid of that. And a lot of the time, what it is denouncing whatever you've been wrapped in. Amen? To recognize it. To recognize it. What you've being taking place is that you're being tormented by evil spirits. Now, I know for some people in church, oh, wait, don't start talking about evil spirits. Don't talk about demons. Isn't that what Jesus did? Did he not say in John, last chapter in John 16, all authority given to him, he gave it to us, you and me. He said, now you will cast out demons. And right away, you think of a witch on a broom flying around. Okay, just me, maybe. A lot of times you think of that and you think about other people, right? Boy, I know that Starkey Lawrence got a demon in him. Boy, we'll go get him. You know, it's always looking somewhere else. But all authority has been given to Jesus, given to us. And we recognize, whoa, where have you come from in your life? Don't talk out loud. What had you been involved in that you shouldn't have? I mean, at one time, years ago, I had a good buddy named Jack. And I had a friend named Jim. Jack Daniel and Jim Beam. I'm just telling you. At one time, in our younger days, I could drink a bottle of whiskey at nighttime. Wasn't there kids yet? Yeah. Wow. How many people ever recognize how alcohol can destroy a person's life? It can destroy a family. Or it can destroy yourself. Amen. That demon of alcoholism, or alcohol, boom. We can say drugs the same way. Pornography. Lying. Cheating. Stealing. Gossiping. All that. Palm reading. Oh, I don't really believe in that stuff, you know, but go ahead anyway. Gene Dixon, horoscopes. How many today? I was going to take a peek at it. You open the paper. I don't believe this. But what does it say today? Man, I'm telling you what, that is witchcraft. I don't care how you look at it. I don't care. You open the door up. You know, we have to recognize it. Or in the past. Man, you're born again. Okay. Hey, I rebuke that. In the name of Jesus, that spirit of witchcraft from my life. No more. You know, what I really have in my heart today is that not to go back to live in the past, but let's look at some of the things that you were involved in. What type of demonic activity that you invited into your life. And take that name of Jesus. I'd say write it down on a piece of paper. Denounce each one. And burn it up. Get rid of it. But speak it out. Now, I know I might be stepping on a toe here. But I'm not. The Word of God is going to step on a toe. How many people know that God says, I am a jealous God. Have no other gods before me. Otherwise, worship no other God. Just me. And then right away we look at it and we think, yeah, I'm not going to build me no wooden image. No. But then we look at it and we see there's a thing out there called God of money. People worship money. Well, I don't worship money. Okay. I did it one time because I put all my attention to money. Not just because I was raising three kids, because I wanted stuff. How many of us ever worked overtime just because, well, I get a little more money, I get a different toy? I have. But if that took the priority of my life, that is my God. Some of you, maybe at one time your spouse is your God. Some of your children is your God. What do you mean? Well, you bow down to them every time they want something. Do you not? Don't ask me. I'm not. Okay. But think of that. God says, this is the way to walk. And your children say, well, I'm going to this way today. Which one do you follow? You give in to the kids. What are you putting priority at? If that's you, repent. Maybe, yeah, I'm not saying you're not born again. You recognize that you had a false God. I probably won't say this correct. I'm going to try it. Some of you might be able to correct me. Jahablu? No, Jahablu. Jahablu. That's the name of three gods put together. One of Jehovah. Okay? Jahavu. God says, have no other God before me. Okay? Freemasonry. They call upon and worship Jahabalu. Now, I might not say the name correctly. God just says, I have no other God before me. But in Freemasonry, that's the God they call upon. Now, I'm not here to upset anybody here. I'm here just to show you that if you're involved in that, you brought that, you have a false God, you're in violation of the commandment, rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Now, this is the point that we have to get. This is a hairy point in our walk with Jesus. You know, I can step on your toes here and here. Let me say it this way. God can step on your toes here and here, but don't step on my toes over here, because preacher, you're not going to tell me that that is wrong. I'm not. God is telling you it's wrong. Have you ever been involved in something you didn't know was wrong? I think we all have. Earlier today, when I said, man, we had an awesome time in the ministry. Had a fellow come in, and he was wrapped up in an occult. And he realized it, and I shared the Word of God with him, and me and Brother Jim. And the next thing you know, he renounced his involvement in that occult, that false teaching, and gave his life to Jesus. And we all went, yeah! That should be everything that comes into our life. Oh, God, I didn't recognize that. Wow, I denounce that. You know, what he was the cult he was involved in said that God, Jehovah, worked his way to be Jehovah. The cult said that Jesus and Satan was spiritual brothers. You follow me? Now, I would say right away, you think, wait. We know that ain't true. Yes. Folks, that's the Mormon church. That's the Mormon teachings. Now, I'm not bashing them. I'm just telling you the truth. Check for yourself. But if the truth doesn't come out, we can be wrapped up into something, thinking we're doing right. The Bible. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, the truth will set you free. Folks, I've learned things before. It broke my heart when I learned them. Ah! First of all, I got mad that someone was questioning what I believed in. Then I recognized, man, they were right. Then I got mad at the person who taught me that falseness. But praise God, I renounced it. And that's where that name, above all names, we have to look at ourselves. Why am I this way? God, I'm born again. I know, I love you. You are my Lord, my Savior, I'm following you. And what he's saying this morning, okay, let's just look back in the past for a moment. We're not going back in the past, he says. But you got some things that's hanging out with you. Just denounce them. He says, resist the devil. He must flee. But did he not say that he's given us the name above all names? And if you're here today and you're a Freemason, if you're here today, you belong to the Mormon Church, okay, I'm just sharing you what the Word of God says. I can speak more about, I was raised in the Catholic Church. We were taught to pray to Mary. But did not God say that I am a jealous God and have no other gods before me? Wow. Now, how you get to heaven? Through Jesus, right? He is the way, the truth, and the life. The Catholic religion says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Understand? But when I found myself, I was praying to a false deity, I repented from it. Okay? Are there Catholics in heaven? Yes! Yes! Amen! Because that's the core of our belief. That Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Then we recognize some of the other things have been added on. Man, I wasted my time. Anybody following me? Okay. Amen. But when you step into an area where Jesus is not the center of one's belief, when we take the word, the Holy Bible, and it's twisted around, they say, well, we have to crack that thing. Well, for most of us in here today, when I say, you know, God started out as a person and he grew to be a God, most of you would say, man, you're wrong. Because you read the Bible, right? Amen? Okay. So if I said, and listen, you know, we believe in the same Jesus. You know, it's the same Jesus. But God didn't always exist. I mean, he was graduated. So my question is, do we believe in the same Jesus? Did Jesus declare that he is the Father? Have you seen the Father? Have you seen the Son? Three in one? Yes. Again, just sharing this for us to look into your past, what you might have been hooked up to. You come to Christ, you knew, you sent them. Now you realize, man, I opened the door up for this or this or this. And we announce that thing. That is where some of our torment is coming from. The thing in the past, again, not saying you're not born again, is taking them barrel claws off. I'm sorry, this is me untwirling the laughter. I know you're thinking, oh, what are you doing to Jason? No. So what I'm saying is like, I picture like a mile of wrapping cloth around Lazarus, okay? And so as they start pouring it, he's turned around like this. And every time something revealed, man, he's starting to breathe better, is he not? Breathing better. And that's what God wants us. We are born again. He wants to help take that barrel cloth, that thing that's still trying to choke you out. That way you can breathe, but that way the torment's gone. Amen? I mean, that's what he wants us to do, to recognize that. This is called growing in the Lord, okay? And that we take this authority and use it our life and in our homes. Don't raise your hands, but how many are born again? Following the master, what? Yeah. But you got things going on in your house that should not be going on. How many things? Well, I know, but that's where the torment's coming. You know, little things. And he wants everyone to be victorious, but to recognize the enemy. And some of us, our enemy, again, is coming through that television set. That's the most sneakiest thing there is. When you sit down and you have this thought for a second, you shouldn't be watching that. Oh, you just open yourself up. Open yourself up. Wow. Somebody might have strange activity going on in your house. Some people might just laugh about it. Oh, I know. You know? Oh, I got a friendly ghost upstairs. It's demons. Yeah, I mean, it's real. But you have the name what? Above all names. And it'd be something like this. Okay. You evil spirit, I may have given you permission to come in here. I may have done that knowingly or unknowingly. But me and my house, we shall serve the Lord out in the name of Jesus. It's not screaming. It's not, bah, it's out. It has to leave. And we all saw a war room, right? Most of us did. And man, she realized how she'd been bombarded and lied to and stuff by the devil. Gave her life to Christ. I mean, just got on fire for the Lord. And she opened that door up to get out. out! Get out! Wow. Drew that line. And started denouncing the things that was in her life that came in. Some she brought in, some her husband brought in. Taking authority over that. That's what God wants us to do. I mean, that demon of alcoholism, folks, is a real demon. Attached to that demon is depression, suicide, the spirit of lying, the spirit of anxiety. All that is attached to this bottle. If you can see how that can be attached to a bottle, you have the same thing attached to your TV screen. How many people notice there's more and more commercials attached to stuff on TV? How many people realize how perverted some of these commercials are? Amen? How many of these shows that you, I won't say you watch, how many shows are available on television now has an anti-Christ, anti-God spirit behind it? Yeah. And there's a purpose for that. To squeeze in. How many people get most of their news anymore through the TV and not through the Holy Spirit? How many gets more of the news through the radio and not through the Word of God? How many people get their strength from the Word of God today than those who are turning on the set trying to hear some good news today? Amen? See how it sneaks in there? Denounce it. I mean, I don't imagine you let somebody come in your home and sit there and lie for a long time, would you? Knowing lie to you? Or come in and bring language into your house? I don't imagine you would you? I mean, would you have a... You would have a... I'm trying to think what they call them things. An orgy in your house, would you? Would you let people come in and fornicate in your house? No. But when we turn on that set, that same spirit is there coming in. Again, I'm not saying that you're not born again. But if you are born again, the Spirit of the living God is living in you. You're going to recognize, whoa, wow, thank you. Thank you, God. I recognize now what's going on here. I just thought it was a TV show, but I understand now. Wow, God, forgive me, you know. Hey, you spirit of perverted spirit. Boom. You know, we talk about California. We talk about the new law they signed in out there that if you're within 10 years of a 14-year-old boy, that you can actually have your pleasure with them if they consent. And how many of us think that's terrible? But you know the same spirit there is wrapped up in the spirit of lust? You understand that? The same spirit of fornicating outside the Word of God, the same spirit of adultery is wrapped up in that same spirit. Understand, if the spirit isn't done, it has to eat and consume, it has to be fed. Maybe in your own life, yeah, it's just a small sin. Okay? But pushing that small sin gets into a bigger sin. Let's say you walk into a candy store and you take a candy bar. It's a Reese cup. Boy, I know I shouldn't have done that. And you get convicted right away. I'll never do that again. But you go back in the store again. Now you find that's kind of fun. So you grab another candy bar. This is how it works, okay? Because the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. No matter how he looks at it, that's what he's coming for. Oh, what's a candy bar? But you're right. As time goes on, it's getting a hold of you. You don't want to. I had a person in my family years ago, delivered from it, was a kleptomaniac.
Yeah.
This person would walk into the store, all kind of money. Had to steal because that spirit is upon her. But it keeps growing and growing till finally it wants you to get caught. It's not happy until you get boom, put in jail. Then what happens then? Man, he's a thief. She's a thief. People are just falling away. You know, they say you want to know who your friends are, go to jail. And see, this is a remarkable thing about Jesus. Okay, you're a thief. I love you. I died for you. I've already paid the penalty of your sin. Now that is, I know I'm staring at the wall, but that is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. That is God. That's one you just worship. That's the one that says, okay, yeah, you get wrapped up and stuff, but I haven't turned my back on you. I'm still here. Come to me. Oh, Jesus. Forgive me. I've heard forgive you, child. Come on. But that same spirit is still out there. We have to recognize that. I mean, I don't raise your hand, but how many people ever worked for an employer and stole from them? Well, thank you. Same here. How many ever marked down you worked 8 hours, you only put 2 hours in? No reason you've done that because somebody woke you up. If that's you, you're a thief. And then when you marked on your time card, you're a liar. Wow. Now how many people give their life to Jesus born again? And that was your past. God forgave you. He forgave you. That spirit's still out there. Hoarders, USA. I am not a hoarder. I am a collector. I collect stuff that are worthless. Again, just a way of, you know, we got to check ourselves a little bit, you know. Again, it goes back to, I'm amazed how many people, and I like also Goodwill, okay? And we were up in Amish country. It was funny. We took some donations we had that no one in our area could wear. We took them up to a place in Amish country, donated it. Not really. We exchanged things, you know. But when we find ourselves, we find that, oh, you just walk in and anywhere. You don't have to be Goodwill anywhere. And you just want to shop because it makes you feel better. Amen? Anybody with me on that? Yes. You know? And that's what I really like about Rural King. I can walk in and out buy a thing but eat popcorn. You know what I'm saying? I can walk through that store.
Popcorn's coming back.
Yeah, popcorn's coming back? Well, good. Thank you, Jason. We got a man on the inside here. You got to buy the popcorn? I'll bring my own. But you recognize that. Oh. And what I like about it, I can walk through Rural King. I can back and look at the new guns. I can look at this stuff. Oh, yeah, yeah. I can walk it out. But Lord, I really don't need that, do I? No, no. And I walk out with nothing now. Isn't that awesome? Because you ever go someplace and you... Again, nothing wrong with antique mall. Okay, my wife married an antique, so no problem there. But you walk in over there, and I can walk in there. Oh, my gosh. It just took me back to 1962 or 61, my first day. Oh, here. I'm buying my memories back. I get home. I put it on the shelf or whatever the next day. Why did I buy that? Oh, so you learn not to do that. If I want to have a memory trip, I walk through there free. You know, take a picture or something. But just learning. You know, God has given us new life, but look at, see how we are wrapped. You know? And unwrap that stuff in our life. And sometimes it might be unforgiveness that we still have in our hearts. So we write down the pain that someone really caused us. And so I choose to forgive. That spirit of unforgiveness, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. They're forgiven. Not saying that you didn't go through something. But you choose to go on with the Lord. nowadays, with just a smorgasbord of people to listen to for your spiritual guidance, how do you know the difference? How can you tell when someone is preaching you the truth and someone just trying to make you feel better? What's that? I know, I heard you. I just want to hear you say it again. Read the Word. Amen. Because in that Word, there's a thing that goes, hey, as you're born again, the fruit of the Spirit will grow in your life. Amen? That's an awesome thing. Awesome thing. So, I know we're a little bit over tonight today. Can I have 5 more minutes? I'm going to take 20. I already asked for 5, you know. But I want to show you something that I learned today. Talk about health and stuff. Don't be a liar or a thief. Okay, I won't steal your time. I'm going to lie to you. Okay, I don't want to be a liar or saying 5 more minutes. If you have to be somewhere by 3 o'clock, feel free to leave anytime you need. This here is what? It's an onion. And I'm going to tell you something about onion. Mm-mm. Onions contain a powerful antioxidant. Antioxidants are flavonoid compounds which delay or help repair oxidative damage to different cells and tissue in the body. Eating onion regularly can also protect the body and help regenerate the powerful antitoxin vitamin E, which the body needs as a fat-soluble nutrient. Has to be good to get the word fat in it. Yep. Plus, onion contains acylene. Acylene, a plant-derived nutrient, is a killer of various viruses and bacteria, which means it's a good thing if you eat some raw onion when you feel the onset of a cold or flu. This way, the immune effect will be the strongest. Wow. Onions. How many people eat onions? Amen. Well, I'm going to show you something. Yes. Because I'm amazed, and I used to be guilty of this, but during the week we have a lunch, we do free lunch here, amen? And we have a few people in here that come and eat, and you guys bless me because you eat everything. I mean, not everything, but you eat what God prepared for us, amen? And you're thankful for it. Amen, praise God. But I have folks come in, and we'll prepare the plate, take it back, and say, oh, like the other day, I was blessed. I had peas gave to us. And normally we get corn. Now, I like corn, but corn doesn't have much nutrients for you, you know? I mean, it passes through pretty quick. So we had peas, and peas are good for us. And half the people refuse to eat the peas. I think, okay, but they're good for your body. I don't care. I'm not going to eat them. Wow. Oh, they're green, I guess, yes. And so, that can be the part of life. But this is an onion. If I take this knife, I wanted a sharper knife. My wife wouldn't trust me. There we go. Oh my! Woo. You got it. Do this at the beginning of the service. Do what? Oh, wow, strong. Do what? Been in the fridge a while? That's all right. Now, I want to... The onions are really good for you. You smell it? Woo! Good for your eyes, yes. Hey, Chuck, come over a sec, Chuck. I just want to talk to you a minute, buddy. Oh, come here, buddy. Trust me. Now, you saw me eat an onion, right? Okay. So, the onion is really good. Yeah, onion is good for me. It'll make me healthy, it'll strengthen me and stuff like that. Wow. You want some of the onion too, do you? Sure. Do you really? Okay. Now, am I telling you the truth right now, or am I lying to you?
You're telling me the truth. I can't smell.
Oh, you can't smell.
I'm telling you the truth, too.
You're telling me the truth. Have a seat. I'm sorry. Who has a good nose on them? You got a good nose? Come on up here. I should have asked that question. I asked them earlier if I used them. I didn't tell them what I was using them for. Now, do you want some of that onion? No, probably not. Did you see me eat the onion? And I told you it's really good, right? Yep. Uh-huh. But I ever lied to you?
You just did.
How did I lie to you?
I don't smell onion. I don't smell.
You smell cinnamon.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, how many people would say, yes, we saw the pastor eat an onion in church today. Yes, absolutely. Yes, yes, yes. And from the distance, well, even up close, Chuck doesn't know, but from a distance, it appeared that way. But as you come closer, there's one, if I put it there, there's one fruit of an onion that you can't deny. And that is what? The odor. The smell, yes. The odor of that. No matter how good the onion is for our body, if we don't consume it, it doesn't do us any good. Thank you, Gil. I say that to share with us, and we'll continue next week with this, is the Bible says that we receive that fruit of the Spirit. Amen? And so, if you have someone up either bringing you the message, or if you're looking at yourself, the fruit of the Spirit should give you an odor, right? Okay? Otherwise, the fruit of the Spirit brings this to you. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. As you're turning 22, I'm going to read the top part of it. It says, "Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, which are witchcraft, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. But the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit that was developed in Christians, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." So, number one, that is the evidence of one who is following Jesus. But also, it's a good mirror for ourself. And you might find yourself today, I don't have that self-control. You know? Maybe you're the one that's going to Goodwill when I get down here. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, maybe you're the one that's going to go to the smorgasbord and have four helpings, you know? Or you might be the one that's going to light up the cigarette or grab a beer or can't wait to start gossiping. But the thing of it is, again, it doesn't mean you're not born again. Okay? John 15, and that's, I'm just going to give you the verse and we'll stop there for today. But Jesus says, "Those who abide in me, and I abide in them." That he is the vine, we're the branch. So, if you find yourself, I'm lacking here and here, what it is that we just got to continue to abide more and more in him, in his word. Okay? If you find, man, my joy isn't like it used to be, okay? Well, there's something stepping on the lifeline. And it could have been some of the things that I just shared earlier, you know, things in the past are still hanging on. Ah, we're going to renounce those things, amen? I don't feel like I used to. Okay, well, you've never been in a world like it is today, right? And so, again, we continue to abide, listen, hear, and follow. Man, it strengthens us. It really does. So, don't let Satan slap you around when you say, well, I just saw the other day that Daryl got mad. Okay, well, there is, you can be angry and sin not, okay? Remember your anger? Angry? You get angry because you see how people live or how they act, or you get angry at yourself? Okay, well, right there, we'll stop there. If you get mad at yourself, okay. But don't condemn yourself. When you condemn yourself, now you stepped into sin, you better repent from it. You can be, oh man, I did it again. God forgive me. Amen? He's already forgiven you, but when you hear yourself, you don't have a hold on you anymore. Amen. So next week, everybody bring your own onion with you, okay? No. But think, if from a distance, things can look one way, but the closer you get to it, it reveals itself more. And since you all know what an onion smells like, and you smell my breath, I ate a handful of cinnamon, what it was, you know. That was about as bad as an onion, but you know what's not? So when you hear the Word of God and you meditate on the Word of God, you're going to notice things that are true and things that are false, and that will lead you in the way of the Master. Amen. Amen. Praise God.